Hey, this is Double J, Jeff Jarrett, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the My 1-2-3 Cents Podcast.
It's my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for My 1-2-3 Cents, the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me a hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear, personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo! Kevin! You're stupid.
Hey, friends. Welcome to episode 611 of the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. I am Kevin Huntsberger, joined by Chad Smart, who is not on the West Coast this week. He is in the Midwest, and actually got to see Chad for the first time in person last night as we're recording this Saturday night of SummerSlam. Just for a little bit. First time I've seen you since WrestleMania 39 out in Los Angeles. Chad, how you doing, man?
A little jet lagged, a little tired, but doing all right.
You're in Nerd Central, it looks like. Our buddy Jeremy has quite a setup, right?
Yeah, I mean, you can't see over beyond the monitors. Behind me are a row of video games. We have the old N64 WCW Revenge playing on the screen behind me.
Nice.
And yes, there are more toys here than in a Toys R Us dumpster right now.
Yeah. Well, I posted on the My 1-2-3 Cents Instagram page over the weekend. He's got a nice little homage to the Macho Man Randy Savage. So check that out. Jeremy always goes all in. He was our very first WrestleMania partner, if you will, 20 years ago. We were kind of reminiscing about that over the weekend as well, just how time flies and the fun times that we had. But we kind of got together to, you know, you had a bit of a reunion with some of your college buddies, but I kind of crashed the party for a little bit and watched SummerSlam night one. I don't know. And we're not going to talk about SummerSlam, specifically the results, because as we're recording this, it is Sunday morning. There's still a whole nother night of show or matches to happen. Chad is not going to be able to watch it live. So we opted instead. We're going to talk about the debuts, those superstars. Barring any injuries or things happening on Sunday afternoon going into Sunday evening, these are all the newcomers to the SummerSlam brand. And we're going to kind of talk about the future, a little bit of the past, and then what that is going to look like. But Chad, did you end up getting to watch, because you were a little delayed getting to the watch party? Were you able to ever go back and watch any of the show?
I mean, I'm in the Midwest. I can tell because my allergies are acting up. Try not to sneeze.
It's okay.
I mean, after the show was over, I got here in time for the main event. Mm-hmm. And then when it was over, Jeremy threw on the replay as we were doing other things. I missed the first two matches, but I did see bits and pieces of the rest of the show. Apparently, I missed CM Punk's bathroom break, which, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go online and search that.
I'm not picking that up, but I'll have to.
Apparently something smelled like dookie. I saw some of the stuff. I don't think I saw enough to really have a full opinion of the show, outside of how I feel about winners and losers. And we all know that the biggest loser was Paige, but
I think, and we've, you know, beaten this point into the ground, the biggest complaint I have, and it was better doing it with a watch party because there's other people there, you're talking, and you're not necessarily paying. It gives you a little air, I think, as opposed to back in the day where it was match. And I know AEW's formula is still very similar to that. The commercial breaks weren't as annoying when you're watching with a group, because there's time to kind of talk and recap the match that you just saw, or talk about something that's maybe coming up. So the commercials didn't bother me as much for SummerSlam, but it is a big issue still. I mean, because I did, you know, in full disclosure, I had it playing in the car, listening to it on the way to Jeremy's, because I didn't get there until the start of the six-man tag match. So, yeah, in that regard, there was a long gap there where they just had the graphic up that said commercial break, we'll be right back. But they weren't playing any commercials, which to me was annoying. And I don't know why, you know, they would do that. But again, this is not our 80s, 90s, even early 2000s wrestling anymore. It's a corporate product that, you know, the bottom line is much more valuable to them than I think the customer or the consumer confidence. So, that being said though, Chad, I do want to talk about the debuts. By my count, and again, barring anything happening on Sunday that prevents any of these superstars from performing Sunday night, we're going to have 11 SummerSlam debuts. Now, these aren't other than Nick Aldis, who I believe this was his first WWE match, but everyone else has wrestled for WWE before. I will say this too, something that has kind of bucked the trend of SummerSlam and of WWE PLEs, the big PLEs at least, is the celebrity influence. I don't feel like there were no celebrities involved in this year's SummerSlam, which last year and the year before we had Jelly Roll.
This is the first SummerSlam since 2023 without a Jelly Roll appearance.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean,
which great, somebody said years, it's the end of an era. Yeah, somebody said it's the end of an era. And I'm like, is 3 years really an era? You know, Jelly Roll wasn't here. I want to ask you this, and I don't mean to spark any debate or controversy with it. Again, I had it on. I was listening. I don't know if you've seen it yet or not. And I apologize. I cannot remember her name, but Stephanie and Triple H's daughter performed America the Beautiful. I thought it was fine. It didn't stand out to me. I'm like, I don't even know who this person is. I figured she was like a YouTube or a TikTok sensation that I hadn't heard of because I'm unhip. But later it was shown online that it was because they never mentioned her, obviously her last name. It was her first and middle name is her stage name, I guess. I thought it was fine. But then, of course, when people realized who it was, they started ripping her online. Did you see the performance? Do you have any thoughts or opinions on it?
I didn't. I just saw right before we started recording, I saw on the gram a picture of her and said she made her debut. But I didn't see the performance. I haven't seen any comments, but it wouldn't surprise me if people, you know, have to tear her down just to make their basement dwelling lives feel better.
Yeah. Well, okay.
I say that as I sit in a basement, so.
That's true. That's no ordinary basement, though. That is for sure. So for SummerSlam, you know, I think what I'm going to do is save the big guy for last, and we'll talk about that. But some of these other newcomers, if you will, the SummerSlam Fatal Influence, who were, you know, one half of that six-woman tag match, JC Jane, Fallon Henry, and Lainey Reed, which I didn't know a ton about any of these ladies. And actually listening to the Jeff Jarrett podcast the other day, Gail Kim was the guest. Gail Kim, I don't know if you knew this or not, but she did a 4-week stint at NXT very recently as kind of an audition or to be a trainer. And at the end, she opted to turn down the deal that they offered her because it was going to require her to move away from her husband. And she just didn't feel like it was a good fit for the compensation. But she spoke very highly of Lainey Reed. Now, I don't know a ton about any of these three women, and I know we don't watch NXT because we don't get the CW where we live. And I know they've recently been called up. They're the women's tag team champions. I'm assuming we got a Freebirds rule style going on here with these ladies, but I didn't notice anything blunderous or, you know, sometimes women's wrestling, I think, is over scrutinized. You know how I feel about the Bellas, but what do you think of these three ladies? Do you have any opinion either way on them?
I don't, because like you said, I'm not that familiar with them. I know the name, like I've heard the names before, but I couldn't tell you, you know, if you asked, what's your favorite Fallon Henley match?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell you any. So yeah, I don't, and I don't want to be like, oh, they were terrible, because I'm not familiar with them to know if that was a good match or a bad match based on their career. So, and again, that match, I think, and here I'm going to go a little negative. I think the Bellas have come back to try to cement their place in, you know, the old generation can hang with the new generation, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, if we were going to compare it, we could say like the Bellas are kind of in the same category as CM Punk, who had, you know, a start, you know, were top of the game in a previous generation and now trying to hang with the new kids. And
yeah, but I would argue Punk is doing that.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Yeah. I don't think the Bellas are at that level, and I don't think the fans see the Bellas at that level, you know. And I think that might be a stigma towards women's wrestling and what it used to be and what the Bellas represent more than anything.
Yeah, but I noticed it at, I don't remember where Brie came back. Was it the Royal Rumble, maybe, that Brie
WrestleMania, wasn't it? Or yeah, she came back at the Royal Rumble.
Then, yeah. And it was her husband's move, the Yes Kicks, that got, you know, they weren't chanting Brie, they were chanting Yes.
Yeah.
And that's, I guess it is a knock on them, because like I said, I they're not my favorite wrestlers by any means. But, you know, I tend to agree with you. I do think the heel turn is in, because and maybe that was kind of prompted by the lack of reaction or the negative reaction that they've gotten since the return. Now, I thought Paige was going to be the one to turn and join Fatal Influence. But I think it's interesting, and I like the fact that it was the Bellas instead. And in fact, the one of the guys that was at the watch party said, oh, the Bellas are going to turn on Brie here, or on Paige here. And I was thinking, nah, I think Paige is going to be the one that turns. And then sure enough, they did. So the young Padawan at 23, I think he was called that one right as that's what did happen. But I did like JD. And I want to kind of dig into this a little bit. And today's superstars who kind of pay homage to the past, you know, JC Jane was clearly dressed like Shawn Michaels from, I knew it was Shawn Michaels. I didn't know what iteration it was until I looked online, and it was his a tribute to him from SummerSlam 94 when he wrestled somebody. I don't remember who, but yeah, it was,
he did. Yeah.
Yeah. It was an homage to that look. We saw the Lash Legend and Nia Jax come out as Demolition, a Demolition tribute back at WrestleMania. CM Punk has always done kind of some stuff with, whether it's Randy Savage or, you know, other superstars. So what are your thoughts when they pay tribute? Because we never really saw that happen. And I think obviously in today's world, it's much easier with the technology and the availability to create these looks and designs. It's much easier. You weren't going to see Hulk Hogan come out dressed like Bruno Sammartino, for example. But what do you think of it when they pay homage to some of our past heroes?
I think, you know, one also aspect is that I think let me start this over and get a complete sentence out. Wrestlers have a more defined looks now.
Yeah.
Like you said, you know, sure. Bruno would come out with a towel maybe wrapped around his, you know.
Yeah.
For JC Jane to do the Shawn Michaels too, it's, you know, HBK is the head of NXT. Mm-hmm. So it's probably paying tribute to the person who has been a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, over on my Out of Touchstone YouTube channel, we have a series called Question Everything. Or just put up an episode called Figuring Out Fandom, where we talk about action figures. And I'm sure JC Jane's one thought that went through her head was,
yeah,
how's this action figure going to look?
And right.
It'll be a two-pack with a 94 Shawn Michaels.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think that's why we get a lot of the different looks now. And a lot of, you know, because I'm sure, you know, Cody Rhodes's Street Fighter helmet will be immortalized in some fashion as well. So, but, you know, I think the tribute is done, you know, with JC doing it, as I said, towards a mentor, with Nia Jax and Lash Legend doing it as like Demolition was the, you know, ultimate ass kickers in the tag team, and that's what they were going for. You know, if
right.
it fits the mold. I don't think. Yeah. You know,
coming out of the Quebecers wouldn't have worked.
Yeah, you know. So, no, I think it's cool. I think it's interesting, and it's also for the wrestling geeks to, you know, pick up on. Oh my gosh, that's this look or this, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Someone else who's toyetic, who will debut, we didn't see them on Saturday, but on Sunday night, is the Intercontinental Champion, Penta, who seemingly, and this is another one that, you know, I don't know a lot about AAA or Lucha Libre or anything like that. So this whole thing with the partnership with AAA has been, I don't want to say educational, but I guess it has been somewhat of introducing, you know, a 50 plus year old fan to the world of Lucha. And I know AJ Styles has recently said that he hopes that WWE incorporates something in Japan. You know, we've seen them do a little bit in Europe. So I do like kind of integrating other cultures and companies, and not, I feel like WWE has done a decent job. They have sanitized it a bit, but it's still, I think at its core, the Lucha experience, if you will, for AAA. And that being said, of course, Penta, you know, back when we were kids, the Intercontinental Champion was next in line to the World Champion. So I'm going to ask you two questions here. One, is Penta going to drop, I got the thumbs up when I did that. Nice. Is Penta going to drop the Intercontinental Championship, do you think, to Chad Gable, who has, ironically enough, reestablished himself through that Lucha Libre style of AAA as help me, Americana.
El Grande Americana.
So, one, does Chad Gable finally get his moment as a singles and shine in that regard? And is Penta, you know, either, and in more recent years, we've seen it more likely you're going to go down than up the ladder. Do we get a run, a title run, a championship run out of Penta now if he does, in fact, drop the Intercontinental title?
Well, first, Chad Gable is from Minnesota. So, you know,
SummerSlam back in the day, Minnesota, that means he would have had to kiss Vince McMahon's ass.
Well, I was getting ready to say, this is, you know, we're in his hometown. He's got to do the job. We got to make a fool of him, you know. We got to make him look, you know, and we saw it with Brock Lesnar. I think the El Grande Americana story in AAA worked well, but on the WWE side, I don't think it worked well. I think they didn't know what to do with it, which is a weird thing for the same company to not know how to book it. So, I mean, part of me is expecting Gable to win it as kind of a reward for doing so well with the El Grande character. And I don't think Penta's really done much with it. You know, again, you know, as we saw, Liv Morgan hadn't defended the women's title in 100 days. Is that on her or the creative?
Yeah.
I don't see Penta. I mean, I could see Penta getting some, you know, Monday Night Raw world title shots, but I don't think he's going to get, or maybe the, you know, the Royal Rumble title slot, which goes to someone who isn't ever going to sniff the title outside of that. So, but I don't see a Penta title reign anytime in the next 2 years.
Okay. I don't disagree with you on that. Someone who was kind of, we talked a little bit about this at the watch party, Royce Keyes, who was the former Powerhouse Hobbs in AEW, kind of had a lukewarm WWE run so far. We saw him debut at the Royal Rumble. Then he was gone for a long time. He won the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. Now at SummerSlam, he's the third man of a six-man tag team with which I saw a comparison this morning, which made me laugh. LA Knight and Solo Sokoa comparing them to Daniel Bryan and Kane. Where they feuded and then they made up and hugged and then they became tag team champions. So maybe that's what's in store. Again, I still see a ton of potential in LA Knight and would love to see him get a championship run. But we're talking about SummerSlam debuts now. So Royce Keyes, what are your overall impressions of him? I know he to me was just kind of that was a bit player in a bigger story in that six man tag match.
Yeah, I completely forgot that he won the Andre Battle Royal, which shows you how impressive that is. You know, I think the future could be bright for Royce Keyes, but so far in WWE, in 3 months, when I say, hey, name this the three faces on the six side and six man tag at SummerSlam, are you going to remember that Royce Keyes was in there?
I'm writing this down for you to ask me that.
But yeah, and you know, I think Solo showing personality is something that they should get behind, and not have him turn heel just to go back to the Bloodline.
Yeah,
which is what everyone I think is expecting. And LA Knight is LA Knight. You know, I have a feeling in 2 years we'll still be here being like,
yeah,
what are they going to do with LA Knight? Like,
yeah,
at some point, as my mom used to say, what are you doing with your life? But but Royce Keyes, I think he, again, I think it's just too early. I don't think they've done anything memorable with him, which isn't to say that he's, you know, I think he could be in the Obafemi spot if they had wanted to put him in there. And again, this comes back to, I saw something in the post show. Somebody asked Triple H about fans complaining about the same people being in the top spots. And he's like, well, you know, Punk gets cheered, Cody gets cheers, EO gets cheers. You know, if you want to be in those spots and go out there and get those, you know, get the crowd to react to you. And it's like, it's kind of a catch 22. Like, you have to give them a chance. And I know this has been the thing in, especially in WWE for 20 plus years, 30, 40 years. It's like, well, if I only get 2 minutes a week to go out and do something, how do I get over? So
right. And that, you know, and that's kind of the reason why I wanted to do this podcast specifically, because it fits part of the whole, we're not going to be able to watch night two in time to do, you know, to get this podcast out when it drops. And that is the fact that we do have a lot, you know, a lot of these are SummerSlam debuts and a lot of them are in their first year still in WWE. So we are seeing, or at least I believe, an attempt to get some new blood, for lack of a better word, into the mix. But I do understand Triple H's point of Punk and Cody and you know, some of the mainstays who continue to dominate the top of the card. But I see your point as well. And it's kind of like the whole, you can't get a job in this field without experience, but you can't get experience without having a job. And so it's like, it is this catch 22. And, you know, and we're going to get to Danhausen in a little bit, but the Danhausens of the world are far and few between. You're not going to see many people come in and make the kind of impression and impact that a guy like he has made. But I want to ask you real quick too. We talked a little bit about it at the party, and that is, and I'm assuming he's back in a managerial role, but I don't know for sure, but let's assume that he is. And that is Haku returning on SmackDown. He's with his sons, who are, again, a fraction or a division of the Bloodline, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that part out of it, I love, you know, because back when we were kids, Captain Lou Albano and Freddie Blassie and Bobby Heenan, they're all former wrestlers who came back as managers. So I love the idea of the nasty, devious heel manager in the corner. And Haku, I thought the black outfit, the big staff that he would... I thought he looked badass as hell, and I hope that he is coming back in some sort of role and that they don't screw this up. But what are your thoughts? Does wrestling need more of that? You know, because right now we have Paul Heyman. I guess we have Little Yachty as a man. I don't know. Is he technically a manager? I don't know. I haven't looked at the roster page to see if he's an official WWE employee, but I think we need more than Paul Heyman out there. And then we'll talk more about Paul in a little bit as well. But what are your thoughts on Haku, or just the idea of managers making a bit of a presence back? Because Does AEW, I know there's MVP and Don Callis. Do they have a lot of other managerial roles?
No, I mean, they had Jake Roberts for a while, and Tully Blanchard was there, and Arn Anderson was Cody's mentor. I mean, I think we've discussed, and, you know, it's probably part nostalgia, but the lack of managers is because you have guys that could probably use someone talking for them. And that was, you know, the job of the manager was to go out and get the heat for the, you know, when Midnight Express have been as big as Midnight Express without Jim Cornette.
Right. Yeah.
You know, would wrestling be where wrestling is without Jim Cornette? He says no, but, no, I didn't see SmackDown, and I just saw the Haku was back, and he kind of reminds me of Mr. Fuji with the powers of pain, in that regard. And so, you know, as long as you don't make him like a weak manager, but like, you know, because Haku's, you know, an ass kicker, like,
right.
It should be, he should add intimidation to the matches and not having his sons just protect him.
Right.
So yeah, I'm curious to see where that goes. Hopefully it wasn't a one-time thing, but I think, yeah, I would like to see a return of managers. And
will Rikishi come back and manage the Usos now?
Well, if I'm sure if he doesn't, we'll hear about it on his podcast. But if anyone from WWE is watching, there's a guy named Gaylord that you should hire to be the ultimate manager.
Yes, I love that idea. A couple of ladies that are going to be in this ladder match for a new women or an interim women's champion. So am I to believe that whoever wins this will not be champion once Rhea Ripley is healthy and comes back? Didn't they do this before?
So AEW has done this.
Yeah.
A lot. And I think it's basically you get to carry a championship so they can say they have a champion. And then when the champion comes back, then the two, it's kind of like when Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon had Intercontinental titles.
Yes.
I think it's dumb. Just strip Rhea of the title and name a champion, or don't strip her and just say, hey, when she comes back, we'll bring the title back.
Yeah, because as we saw with Liv Morgan, you know, Michael Cole pointed it out on commentary that this was her first title defense since winning the belt in April at WrestleMania. So it's been four months. So anyway, back to the point of that, we've got two women that are debuting at SummerSlam. Chelsea Green, who's been around for a minute, and then Lash Legend, who we talked about earlier in her tag team run, which makes me wonder, is the tag team, you know, this is why I don't think WWE specifically needs a women's tag team championship, especially when you have now an Intercontinental and a U.S. women's champion, because you're doing these makeshift teams. Now, I do think that Lash and Nia could have been a kick-ass long-term tag team, as we saw with the Demolition stuff. And maybe they are going to continue to team. I don't know. But, you know, I do like Lash Legend, and we'll talk about her husband here in a minute as well. And then I made my feelings about Chelsea Green known last week. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not as high on her as I am. I would love to see her win this. I don't have, you know, and obviously as people are listening and watching this, we do know who has won, but I would love for her to be the one to do that and kind of pull that upset. But then also I wonder, you know, the fans want it so bad. Once we get it, are we going to be disappointed? And, you know, will WWE, I don't want to say fumble it, but will it not carry on the way that the fans hope it does? Because, again, we've talked about expectations of fans overriding sometimes what WWE maybe thinks is the best story to tell with someone. So any thoughts on these two ladies specifically?
Yeah, like you said, I'm not as high on Chelsea as you are. And not to say that I'm anti-Chelsea. I just, something doesn't click for me. Same way with Lash Legend. I just haven't seen enough of her to form an opinion. Like I said, anybody that comes straight from NXT, it's going to take me at least 6-7 months to, and they have to be on Raw. So,
right.
Since I also don't watch SmackDown, which makes it hard to review WWE shows. Like, who are you? You know, like I said earlier, I don't think it should be for an interim title. It should be for a title. And who are the other four? Do you have it written down? Who else is in the match?
Charlotte's in it. Tiffany Stratton, Jade Cargill. I don't remember who the other.
Yeah, it seems like, again, this is just people that keep getting high profile matches, but they don't do anything in between the matches.
Yeah. It's Charlotte, Jade, Tiffany, Chelsea, and Lash. According to the latest update, so that they may, I don't know if there was anyone else that was going to be injected into that one or not. So, and again, it's giving, you know, it's part of that. We've talked before, you know, about WrestleMania, how, you know, everybody seemingly, at least back in the day, was getting a shot on the card. And this is kind of doing that almost as well. You know, we had two multi-person matches on night one, and then of course this big ladder match that's going on, which I'm not a fan of the ladder matches either. Just the risk of injury, and to me I don't know if the risk is worth the reward, but I know there's a fan base out there that loves that kind of stuff, so I always kind of watch and like think, oh man, is that going to break an ankle or someone going to get a concussion? But we talked about Lash Legend. Her husband, Trick Williams, is going to defend the U.S. title against Baron Corbin, who is someone that I've had feelings about before that aren't favorable. And I think Trick is going to continue to defend. We've seen complaints before about, and we've done it ourselves, NXT stars, Bo Dallas specifically comes to mind, of very successful on the NXT channel and then comes to WWE and they don't necessarily know what to do with them. I feel like with some of these call-ups as of late, they've had more focus. They've had more attention on them. Trick Williams obviously being one of those, becoming the U.S. champion pretty quickly after being called up. And again, I don't know if the cachet, the value of being a quote-unquote secondary champion is still what it was back in the day. But I like Trick Williams, and I think that he is one of those guys that still has a ton of potential that we could one day see in that world title picture. So what do you think of Trick? Or too soon still for you?
You know, I think I asked you this last time, and I'll keep asking. Have you bought your lemon pepper steppers yet?
Not yet. They're back order.
You know, again, my issues with Trick are, I think, saying whoop that Trick once the crowd is saying they want to see Trick get beat up, not as a form of endearment. So that's where,
whoop that Trick. Like, it's a command for him to whoop that.
Oh, okay. Okay. That makes sense.
Maybe they should say Trick whoop that instead.
Yeah. That would help white people, old white people like me. Baron Corbin is one, you know, it's like, okay, you brought him back and he's already on a major pay-per-view. Like, you know, I think a lot of fans expected Carmelo Anthony to be in the
This match.
Carmelo Hayes, yes. Carmelo Anthony is the basketball player, which also would work in WWE right now. So, you know, I have a differing view of Baron Corbin after listening to him on what used to be SiriusXM Wrestling Channel, which is now WWE Wrestling. And I think he's one of those guys that I think has a good mind for the business, but when he gets in the ring, the character, I like the Broke Corbin and Happy Corbin. I thought those were fine. And this team with Bron Breakker was good. So I think I'll give him the chance to maybe keep me as a fan now. But again, I don't know why he's rushed into this match at SummerSlam.
Yeah. We talked a little bit about him last week, and I want to pick your brain a little bit more, especially now that we actually saw the match. And that is Nick Aldis, who many years as a wrestler, he's been on the SmackDown general manager list probably for about 2 years now, maybe more than that. I feel like we got a tease or a hint that he may wrestle at last year's WrestleMania against Randy Orton. Instead, that ended up being Joe Hendry. The time has finally come. He got into the ring and wrestled. I wasn't expecting it to happen. I'm glad that it did. I wish it. I don't know what the story is or what the purpose is of him wrestling. Was that to give him an opportunity to have a last match, or was that an opportunity for him to have a tryout to see? Because when they brought in Mickey James and their son, it felt like I was waiting for him to take his boots off, quite honestly. But then I thought, will they do that twice in the night with Brock, which we'll get to in a little bit as well. But what are your thoughts? Is Nick Aldis going to wrestle more? Because he's given up the general managership, right?
I think they said he temporarily gave it up in order to wrestle, which then goes into how do you bring him back as the GM and have him and Gunther coexist, or have him even, you know, if he doesn't give somebody a match that they want, should they just start beating him up until he, you know, and force him to wrestle them?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where this is going. And I don't know. I mean, if it was just a shot, a chance to give Nick Aldis that SummerSlam moment,
mm-hmm.
it was fine. But yeah, I'll be curious to see what happens on SmackDown this week.
Were you, let me think how I want to say this. Were you surprised that he lost? Did you expect him to win? Would you have rather he won and or been in there against someone else if they're going to make this into a Nick Aldis returns to the ring? Or does this make it now that underdog story of, okay, he's had his one match and he's going to now decide, okay, I'm not going back to being the GM. I want to wrestle full time.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect him to win. I mean, I think with stepping in there with Gunther, you have to have Gunther, you know, the year that Gunther is having, it made sense for him to win.
Yeah.
So, yeah, again, I guess this depends on what their plans are. You know, if we see, you know, do I think they should have like a trilogy of matches? No.
Yeah.
But could they have done that with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. But yeah, I mean, I would expect him to say, I don't know, we've got it out of our system. Now let's, you know, go back to being GM and wrestler, or, you know, who knows? Maybe they become tag team champions.
I think it's hard. I think the Gunther character is complex enough that it's hard to keep, because you've established him as the guy who retired Goldberg and Cena and AJ Styles. And now, you know, perhaps was that, you know, was that just done to make it be Nick's last match too? I don't know. They threw up a graphic though, as he was coming into the ring, which I didn't realize until they did it and said it. And Gunther is apparently undefeated in non-championship matches. Like he's never lost a singles non-title match, if that makes sense. And I think it was like 37-0, according to the thing. So whether that's legit or not, but that's the story that they are now moving forward with Gunther. So, you know, I wonder, are they building this up to when he finally faces off against some, because he's obviously lost to Sami Zayn, the Intercontinental title. He lost to Jey Uso, the world title. Did he win it twice, the world championship, or just the one time? No, he won it. No, I guess he just has only held it one time. But he's lost other championship opportunities, the one obviously against Cody Rhodes. And then, because I guess they're technically, I think Cody beat him at the King of the Ring or something. And I guess they're counting that as a championship match. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what they said at SummerSlam. I'm going to take it for what they're, the story, the purposes of the story that they're trying to tell. But yeah, I, you know, and again, the roster is so full and there's so much talent there, and, you know, is there room for Nick Aldis to join and be a part of that? Does he stand out enough? Did the internet wrestling community, was there enough support? Because I imagine if the support is there or was there for a return, we'll see more of it, because I was clamoring for it back in 2025 when it was the potential for him being in there against Randy Orton. They teased it enough, I think, that it became a legitimate, hey, this could be a possibility. So
yeah, I don't know. Well, again, we'll see what happens on SmackDown.
So one of my favorites, which I just love the guy, and that is Danhausen. And as far-fetched and goofy and silly as it is from, it takes me back to, I guess, the 80s and 90s style. The silliness, he does not look like your typical wrestler. He is also someone who has established a streak with curses and with victories in the ring.
Yeah.
But I wonder, you know, once you start putting him in there with guys who have, and again, I know it's all a work. I know it's wrestling and haha and whatever. But when I say this, I say it somewhat serious. You know, Dominic has established himself. Again, he was one of those guys too that I thought, he's not going to go anywhere. And then he's become, you know, this king among men, this Ray among men, if you will. And I don't, is Dominic still the AAA champion? Okay. So, you know, on the one channel he is, and he's kind of gotten into this Danhausen feud and become a little bit more comedic, if you will. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but you know, Danhausen is wrestling and doing more. And I don't know what the future holds for him, but you know, we see the merch, we see the ice cream truck and all the other things that are going on. Human money's on a pole match. So it's not, I'm guessing it's not really a loss if Dominic does take the L on this one, but what are your thoughts? You know, does Danhausen, I don't see like with Penta, I don't see him main eventing WrestleMania and going for the championship. But then again, you know, the wrestling with logic side of things is, well, why wouldn't he curse CM Punk or Pepsi Punk or Cola Punk, whatever he calls him, and take the championship from him?
Pepsi Phil. Well, thank you for giving me an idea for a future wrestling with logic segment over on Out of Touchdown, which I think I launched at the wrong time since I'm on vacation, traveling for a week, and so I can't really follow up. But that, I mean, that makes perfect sense to, you know, if he's interested in human monies and everything, you want to be the champ because that gets you more monies. You know, I think we've said it before when we've talked about Danhausen, and I think WWE has a golden goose, and I think they're going to run that golden goose until it stops laying eggs. Mm-hmm. And it could be 6 months from now. It could be 6 years from now. Who knows what it's going to be. But I think Danhausen is just very marketable. Mm-hmm. Very marketable. Very entertaining. but I agree with you. Like, you know, when he's in there with Kit Wilson and The Miz, it's one thing. Mm-hmm. But when you start putting him in there against incredible opponents,
yeah,
we'll see. And maybe, you know, I haven't seen a lot of Danhausen wrestling, so
right,
maybe he'll surprise us with his technical skills.
Or will we get a multi Danhausen team at some or at Survivor Series like they did with the Doinks a few years ago, or a 30 plus years ago, I should say.
If I was betting on any of the multiple betting apps that get promoted across sporting events now, I would say yes, that will be a likelihood.
And
so.
All righty. Well, I promised to save the big guy for last, and that, of course, is Obafemi. We mentioned him briefly earlier with Royce Keyes. Oba was not really on my radar because, again, not – watching NXT regularly, I knew kind of who he was, but it wasn't really until the Cena last match, the Saturday night's main event, where he wrestled Cody. You know, obviously a big, impressive figure. When he was in the Royal Rumble and Brock Lesnar eliminated him, I knew something was going to start cooking. I didn't know it was going to turn into a three-match trilogy.
Yeah.
They've seemingly strapped the rocket to Obafemi right now. And it does feel like, especially after the main event of SummerSlam and Brock raised his hand and didn't kick him in the dick like he did a couple of weeks ago and called him the future and called himself, Brock referred to himself as the past. I feel like the torch was officially passed SummerSlam Saturday. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I thought it was passed at WrestleMania. So, again, I don't get why this was stretched out to three matches. Mm-hmm. Because I think if you're going to do that, then Brock should have won that first match because that it gives Oba something to fight for. I mean, I think Oba is the challenger, and I know CM Punk laid out a challenge to him during the post-show scrum. We'll see if that happens. And, you know, I think the whole, I think Oba is the future. I think WWE would be wise to, you know, put the strap on him sooner rather than later. Because I think he is more talented than Goldberg, but I think you're going to get a Goldberg situation where if you wait too long, are fans going to care? You know, it's like, and in that regard, I just feel like, you know, I think the booking was bad with him winning King of the Ring and then saying, I don't care about my title shot.
Yeah.
I'm going to give that up to fight Brock. It's like, well, why?
Yeah.
So we'll see. But yeah, I would say put the title on Oba before WrestleMania. Don't wait to give him that WrestleMania moment.
So I want to dive a little deeper into this, and I know we're, you know, you've got things going on today as well, but I want
to
ask.
Yeah, and my computer's about to die, so I was
going to. Is it really? Okay. Like 5 minutes. Okay, we'll keep this short then. So do you think, you know, one of the beauties of making attractions over just a regular cramming them down our throat, kind of like we're getting with Danhausen right now. Do we make Oba an attraction and seemingly, and he didn't officially say it, but let's for all intents and purposes say Brock is done. Mm-hmm. Where does that leave Paul Heyman? Does Oba Femi now become Paul Heyman, you know, a Paul Heyman guy? Because I don't like him with the Vision. And I feel like that's all kind of fractured, and he's given Maxine Dupri anyway. So where does that leave Heyman? Where does that leave Oba? And do we spread him out a little bit more? He's young, though. He's talented. So how do we balance the overexposure versus giving him a championship run? And you said a championship run. So does he beat CM Punk or does he beat Roman Reigns? Either one, I think, is a legitimate title win.
I think either one is a legitimate title reign. If it's me, if you really want to make him the face, he beats Roman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So, 100%. Paul Heyman, I think, I mean, Heyman will probably take some time off maybe and then come back with a new Heyman guy. I don't think it'll be Oba.
Okay.
And I'm trying to think of the roster right now if there's anybody that I would pair him up with. Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I'm sure Heyman will have somebody soon.
Does WWE need that? You know, because Brock was, for most of his career, was that monster heel, that unstoppable force. Can a babyface be in that role? Should Oba stay face or should they turn him heel?
I would say face. Again, I'm going to compare him to Goldberg.
Yeah.
Just have him come in. And again, not his matches should not go more than 5 minutes. If you're wrestling on weekly television, it should just be domination.
He's likable as hell. And I could see a break off of the Vision and Bronson, Braun Breaker, Steiner going on his own as a Paul Heyman guy. That would be my solution to it. And have him, you know, feud with Oba at some point, once Oba wins the championship. You got to give Oba a credible threat. And I think Braun Breaker is kind of that. Chad, any other thoughts before we wrap up this week's episode?
No, I'll be curious to, you know, see night two of SummerSlam. Probably watch it sometime Monday morning. And we'll see where things go. I think, again, WWE has the tools to be entertaining. And I think leading to WrestleMania, Saudi Arabia, I'm curious if we'll get the WrestleMania build that we normally get. And I know we're still months away from the road to WrestleMania, but to me, whatever's going to happen at WrestleMania, seed should be planted now and we build up to it. So we'll see.
Yeah, it'll be curious to see. And friends, thanks for listening and or watching to this week's episode. We will see you next time.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.